Welcome to Dose of Courage, a podcast for purpose-driven women in search of community who are ready to level up in their faith, business, and life. I'm Courage Molina, your courage coach, here to equip you with the tools you need to live a bolder and more courageous life so you can increase your impact and income. Courage Crusaders, let's go. What's up? I am so glad that you guys are back here with me with the podcast. If this is your first time, welcome. Go ahead and subscribe. If it's not your first time and you just keep coming back, I appreciate you. Thank you so much for continuing to share and listen and download. It makes it feel so good. I'm glad to know that I am adding value to your life. Amen. So last week we kind of talked about what to do before we start like planning our year and setting our intentions for the year. You know, I reflect, I release, and I renew my commitment. And once I'm done with that, I start to think about the vision that God's given me. And if I'm honest, and I'm going to be honest with y'all, if I'm honest, sometimes I am overwhelmed by it. Sometimes I'm overwhelmed by the vision. And when I start to try and make sense of it, I can start to have doubts, right? I don't doubt that God has great things for me. I don't doubt that I'm going to impact people. I know that I was created for a reason, that there's a purpose. I get all that. But when I allow myself to just sit in the presence of God and really like not resist looking at this vision, seeing the vision, focusing on the vision, receiving the vision for my life, what my life will be and the type of impact that it will have. When I allow myself to do that, when I'm done, I'm like, okay, that was, you know, my time with that is up. I start doing the human thing, like, okay, how am I going to do it though? But how am I going to do it? How am I going to figure it out? I just have all these doubts. It's like this cycle, right? There are several things that I have to remind myself when I get to a place where I am doubting the vision, because I may have moments where I doubt the vision, but I believe it enough to write it down. And I believe it enough to read it at least once a month. And I believe it enough to set my day-to-day schedule up towards like going in the direction of the vision that God has given me for my life. You are struggling so much with this doubt. You are having this internal struggle with doubt so much that you won't even write the vision down. You've written a vision and you've created a vision board, but if you're honest, you've only written down and put on the board the things that you're comfortable with. You haven't put down the full vision. Just thinking about putting on the full vision makes you feel foolish, makes you feel crazy. Like, what? Who am I? You know, who do I think I am that I can have these things? And that brings us back to, you know, understanding that you are who God says you are. I'm a child of the Most High God, and I'm one with the Spirit of God. And because those things are true, it makes sense that the vision and what God is going to do in and through my life is greatness, that I'm destined for greatness, that greatness is in our DNA. It makes sense when you understand who you are and you are fearfully and wonderfully made, and that you were made in the image of God and his personality and the way he looks and our creativity, our ability to create. We get that from our dad, right? And so I want you, before you get too far in this year, I want you to have some things in your toolbox that will help you to overcome the doubt about the vision. It's not that you believe in God and you know that God's going to use you. But if you're honest, when you look at that vision, sometimes you are doubting that it's going to come to pass, so much so that you haven't been able to write it. One of the things that we sometimes say to ourselves is, let me not say y'all, let me just share my experience. Okay, that's what I'm going to do in this podcast. I'm going to share my experience and I'm going to tell you what I did to overcome, or what I do to overcome the doubt when it comes. And if it resonates with you, or if it's something that you can identify with, then you can use the same strategy. You can try the strategy in your life. So I'm not going to project in this podcast. I'm just going to talk about me. The ones that I wrote down are the ones that I have experienced or that have stunted my growth in some time or another, one time or another. One of the things that I used to think is, like, maybe it's not from God. This vision that I have is so huge. It is so insane. It really means I must be think I'm important if I'm going to do it. And who am I to think that God gave me this, right? It's probably just me. It's probably just my ego or my pride, or my desire to show those people who think that, or who thought I was not going to amount to anything. They thought that I wasn't going to be able to do things. They were like, oh, she probably going to do this. Like, those people, I want to be able to show those people that I can accomplish great things, right? Maybe that's what this vision is about. Because there's a part of me that wants to stick it to the people who thought I was going to stay down. So maybe that's what this is. Maybe this vision that I have, maybe it's really that. And that's not godly and it's not from God. And it is my vision, you know, it's something that I'm seeing in my head. I didn't have an experience where God handed it to me. It's not like the downloads. The downloads feel different. I know they're like, I can tell somehow that they're a download from God. But somehow there's something weird about a vision, or right, the desire that you have. It's like, maybe that's not from God. Maybe that's from me. But when I go to the Word, because that's where I go, when I go to the Word, and I think about this scripture that we often use, write the vision and make it plain. Well, I'm like, okay, it says write the vision and make it plain. But it's like, but how do you know that the vision that you got is from you, is not from you, it's from God? Well, the word vision there, it comes from Old Testament, right? And it was written in Hebrew originally. And if you think about the translation of it, it's actually more of a revelation. I'm talking about write the vision and make it plain. It's more of a revelation from God that He has given to you through a vision. You can see it in your mind. That's why they use that word, and it was translated to vision, or like a dream. And you don't have to be sleeping for it to be like a dream, right? It is something that did not originate with you. You didn't tell it what to be. You just thought about what you might like, and it's like you could see this video of your life, like this movie of your life, and you thought, oh man, for just a second. Then you're like, well, maybe that's me. No, that's from God. That vision that you have is prophetic. It's what God's going to do. And no matter who I am, no matter what I think, I always have to come back to, okay, this vision is so big, but is there anything too hard from God? And if I understand that the vision comes from God, then I know that He is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all I could ask or see in my mind. I know that God can do it. I just take myself out of it. That this vision, because all good things come from the Lord. Right, He has started this good work in me. He has awakened this purpose, this passion that I have. His word says that my gifts will make room for me, and it's going to make room for me in that vision that I have, right? Like, it's going to lead me towards that promised land, so to speak. And so when I realize or when I recognize and acknowledge that this vision that I have for my life did not originate with me, I would have picked something else. You know what I would have picked? Let me sip my water. You know what I would have picked? I'm going to tell y'all a secret. If I could pick a vision for my life, if I were going to be the one like designing it and picking it, I would be a singer. I would be a musical artist. And I can't sing. Just so we're clear. So if I was going to have a vision for my life, if I was going to like pick something that was going to originate with me, then I would pick singing because I love to sing. My personality is one where I do like to be on stage and I love music and I like to dance. I would love to be a singer. That's what I would pick if I was picking something. But what do I, oh, I snorted. What do I know? Right? So even though I want this thing that I can see in my mind's eye, even though I desperately want to see this vision come to pass, it originated with God. It's a revelation. It's prophetic about what He's going to do in my life and through my life. He has shown me this thing by sight. He has revealed it to me by sight. I can close my eyes and see it. Right? So this doubt that you have that maybe it's not from God, it is, because revelations come from God. God is revealing to you prophetically what is going to take place. Another doubt that I have is like, I don't know how I could do it. I don't know how I could do it. I don't even know how I could. The vision, just let me say this too, so it's not like so, it's not so, so mysterious. The vision, when I close my eyes and I see, is that I would be one of the most effective and engaging Bible teachers this world has ever seen. Teaching the Bible in a way that people are drawn to it like never before. People have an understanding and a desire to get in it for themselves, right? That my ability to speak and teach about the things of God is one that ignites a desire in anyone who hears me to want to open their Bible and study it. And that I would be so effective as a teacher that when women had a problem, any problem that they faced, that they would go to the Bible first because of the work that I do, right? That God would use me in this way. And when I close my eyes, I can see it. When I allow myself to just to sit in this vision, right? When I allow myself to just sit in this vision, that's what I see. And I don't know how I could do it. I don't know. Like, there, do you know how many great Bible teachers there are? I love sermons and I learn a lot. I love to learn. There are lots of Bible teachers that I follow. Dr. Darius Daniels, Pastor Stephen Furtick, Bishop T.D. Jakes, Sarah Jakes, Pastor, what is his name? Keon Henderson. There's so many just Pastor Judah Smith, phenomenal Bible teacher. Christine Kane, just like. So when I think about that, one, I think maybe it's not from God. Is it me? Is it my ego? Two, I don't even know how I could do it. Because a lot of these people that I know, that I follow, that I love, that I think are really the best Bible teachers I've ever seen, when I think about it, when I think about them, they started so long. They started earlier in their life. They were exposed to it at a level like way earlier. They was in Bible camp and Bible training and church training and all of these things, so many of them. And I don't know how I don't know how it's going to happen. I don't even know enough to devise a plan to get me there. It's not like there's a path. You know, I feel like with other things, there's a path, you know. With basketball, there's a path. You're going to play rec ball. You're going to get on a team. You're going to get a coach. You're going to train. Like, okay, I can see that. I could at least see, even if you don't know how you're going to become the greatest player, I feel like you know there are steps to it. I don't know the steps to becoming the most effective and engaging, but I don't know even what the steps are. So since I don't even know what the steps are, I don't even know where to begin to create a strategy for it, that can sometimes cause you to doubt, cause me to doubt. Like, how you gonna do that? You don't even know how to do it. No, how is that? How do you think that is God's vision for your life? Like, you literally don't even know how to do it. But do you know how I'm gonna be the most effective and most engaging Bible teacher this world has ever seen? You know how? According to his power at work in me. It's not going to be through my own power. It's not going to be through my own might. It's not going to be through all the times that I study, all the things that I do, all the sermons. It ain't going to be through that. It's going to be according to his power at work in me. And when I think of this vision and I see my life, not just how I serve, but also how I'm living. I mean, like, my space, my lifestyle, my financial standing. When I see that too, I'm like, how are you going to do that? How's that going to happen? I don't know how that's going to happen. How's that going to happen? It just seems like, I don't know how it's going to happen. According to his riches and glory, says the word. So I can see the vision, but it seems, there's a part of me that feels like, oh, that's arrogance, that's what you're going to be, right? And so then that would not be from God. And then how could you, like, how are you going to even do it? But I told y'all, I would have picked being a singer. I would pick singing. I mean, I can't sing. Not even a little bit. Not even like, oh, I'm okay. I'm a terrible singer. But I love singing and I love music. That ain't it, though. So this is from God, right? It's from God. And if you're honest, you know that yours is from God. And I don't know how I'm going to do it, but I don't have to know how I'm going to do it because it's going to be done according to his power at work in me. I don't have to worry about how I'm going to figure it. Like, I don't need to figure it out. It's going to be done according to his riches and glory, not mine. The opportunities, all of those things, it's not all on my shoulders. It's not how this works. He has a plan, right? I used to think, what about my past? I am a teen parent. Once a teen parent, always a teen parent, right? I was pregnant at 15. I used to fight all the time. A lot of cursing. Didn't make a lot of great choices with my finances. I was depressed. I did a lot of drinking. I didn't necessarily do a lot of partying, but I did drink. I was drinking like every day. Not like every day. I was drinking every day. And like just even my overall attitude and my personality and some of my preferences and my look and my tone. What about all of those things? Like, that vision doesn't seem like that vision that I have, you know, would be the right vision for my past. Maybe a motivational speaker, I could do it. I feel like, yes, I can motivate people because I've overcome a lot of things. I've survived. I've changed a lot. I feel like, yes, great. Okay, I could do that. But that right there, most effective and engaging Bible teacher, everyone's favorite Bible teacher, that seemed like, that doesn't seem like it's possible. I doubt the vision because of the mistakes and the things that I've made. But do you know what? I have been saved by grace through faith, not of my works, so that I won't boast about it. But through what Christ did on the cross, that's why I've been saved. For the good, that's how I've been saved, for the good works that God has for me to walk in them, right? This work that He's already ordained for me. That's why I was saved. It's not about my past. It's about my purpose and the promise that God has for my life. And the purpose for my life, just like for yours, is good works. That's the purpose, just so we clear. The purpose is good works. And if Bible teaching ain't good works, I don't know what is. It's all good works, right? Like, for good works. And He still has plans for me. A future for me. He knows what those plans are. He knows exactly. So even though I have a past, I still have a promise. You may have a past, you still have a promise. Those things don't, that does not negate, disqualify you from the purpose and the promises of God. And so now that doubt's out. Then I thought, well, I think I need more training. Like, maybe I need to go to seminary school, or I need to go through some like church program or something. there needs to be some type of process where somebody gives me a certificate, or somebody trains me, or mentors. Like, there should be something. There's got to be something, some type of formal training if I'm gonna do that. And I don't have any training, and I have no plans as of right now, or desire, or an inkling that the Lord is trying to send me to seminary school. I don't see or feel that. I don't feel the Spirit of the Lord moving me that way. So then maybe the vision isn't my, maybe that vision isn't the right, like, now I doubt the vision. How can I be one of the most effective and engaging Bible teachers the world is? How can I be among that group, right? How can I be the most effective and engaging Bible teacher the world has ever seen? Yeah, I ain't got no training. Maybe that's not the right vision. Then I can start to doubt the vision. But do you know what? Do you know how I overcome that doubt? It's my gift, man. It is a gift. It's when I started studying and reading the Bible, it made sense to me. It just made sense in a way that I could explain it, I could break it down, I could teach it. And I thought for years that when people said they didn't understand the Bible, it meant they wasn't reading it. Because in my mind, you have to remember, I didn't go to like any of these Bible schools, or like nobody told me. I just didn't know. I was just regular and I was struggling. So I started reading my Bible and I understood it. And so I thought, I didn't have a reason to think that it was a gift. I didn't have a reason to say, oh man, this might be a talent, because it was reading. I feel like reading comprehension is a skill. And I know sometimes people struggle with reading comprehension, but I honestly felt like if you don't struggle with reading comprehension, then you can read and understand the Bible, because it's just reading and understanding the Bible. I really thought that for a long time. I didn't realize that it was a gift until I started sharing some of the principles and the lessons I would take from a scripture, and people would be like, dang, that's deep. You got that? I'm like, yeah, did you read it? Because I felt like, well, if you read it, you would have got that too. They're like, no, I did read it. And I got some stuff, but I ain't get all of that you got, breaking it down at that level. And I was like, huh, just shrug my shoulders. But I'm gifted for this. I have a gift. And I'm a talented teacher. I have a talent for it. A knack, if you will. And I'm recognizing that I'm anointed for this work. And this, my gifts and my talents and my anointing, they call me the recap queen. right? Like, I can be on a call, or like we used to have this radio show, and we would talk about different things, and at the end, I would, like, just recap. I'd be like, oh, let me just give a recap. And they'd be like, dang, how did you do that? I'm like, I'm just saying what happened, right? That's a part of something that I need. I need, in order for, listen, there are things, skills, talents, gifts, right, that you need to have in order to be able to do this thing that you've been called to do. You need some of those things. If I'm going to be one of the most effective and engaging teachers, then I also have to be a phenomenal learner, right? I have to be able to learn and retain. And that I've been able to do with ease. And that is because it is necessary for my specific work. This is the work I've been called to do. And so God has gifted me, talented me, and poured the oil on me for the work that He has created me to do. My gifting, my skills, my talents are in alignment with the vision. And I didn't make myself. Okay? That's how I know my desire to be a singer. That's not from God. And I'm laughing, but I'm telling you, it's not from God. And I know it's not from God, because if it was, then I would have more than just a love for music. I would actually have skill and talent as a singer. And I don't. Why not? Because it's not in alignment with what He created me for. Right? God does not make mistakes. So I think that sometimes we miss that we were created. I was created by a God who had unlimited resources. You were created, get this, by a God with unlimited resources. So when He was making you and designing you and creating you in His own image for work that He intended for you to do, He gave you all the parts you needed so that you could dominate at it. Because greatness is your destiny. It's in your DNA. We were created to reign, not be mediocre, not be average. There are lots of things that I'm average at. Teaching Bible isn't one of them. There are lots of things I'm not good at. Teaching and speaking, that ain't one of them. It's just not. Right, we have to be able to see how our skills and our gifts and our talents line up with the vision. Now, if your skills and your talents and your, you know, your gifting doesn't line up with this, you don't have any pet, you, of all the skills that are required to do it, you ain't got none, no gift and no talent. Well, then it might not be. It might, you know, then it might not be it. But the majority of you who have doubts about the vision, it's not because you lack the skill or the gifts or the talents. It's because we lack the courage and the confidence. It's because we are sometimes concerned about our worthiness. Who are we? Who are we to think so highly of ourselves? Who are we to think that we might impact the world that way? Who are we to believe that God would choose us? We're children of the Most High God. Hello, that's who we are. We didn't create ourselves. We didn't call ourselves. We didn't gift and talent ourselves. Like, that's not what happened. The God who created us with our purpose in mind, with the vision He has for us in mind. And He doesn't make mistakes. He didn't mistakenly give you the gifts and the talents that you have, and now He's got a different, like, it doesn't work that way. He's got a purpose for you, and He gifted you and talented you, anointed you, and called you for that work. Sometimes we doubt the calling because it's too much, it's too great. I remember right as I was starting to accept the call on my life, and I was starting to accept the vision, I remember sitting in here in this room that I'm in right now. Had a different bed then, but I was sitting on the bed And I was writing at first. I was like laying down writing. And then I sat up and I just started crying. I just cried and cried and cried because I could see the impact that I'm called to have. And I'm like, I'm just one little girl. I remember like I kept crying that, but I'm just one little girl. It's too much. It's too big. I'm just one little girl, you know? But if I'm honest, there is a part of me who wants to have that type of impact. Who wants to have that type of influence. Because the women and the men that are anointed for the call that have poured into my life via YouTube, preaching, books, or whatever, they have had such a profound impact on my life that it has changed my life for the better. I'm a different wife. I'm a different mom because of somebody else's gifting, talent, and like how they have used it to impact not only me, but to impact the world. If they had decided like, oh, listen, I'm just being honest. If they were like, oh, this is my little space, this is it, and they didn't go after the vision, I never would have heard about it. How could I have heard of Dr. Darius Daniels if he wasn't going to have take reign of the impact and the influence God intended? How would I know about Sarah? Like, they wouldn't have been able to impact me. I don't live in their cities. I don't live in their towns. Think about some of the people that have impacted you in any area of your life. A lot of these people are household names, or at least they're big deals in their industries. Like, there's an impact in their industry. They're leaving a legacy. I think about Billy Graham. Great, like, what? Yes, he would have been content maybe with one. He wanted to reach as many people as he could and save as many souls as he could. He wanted to preach the gospel. Preach the story of the good news. That's why he went all over the place. He collaborated. Like, he wanted to do all that. It was huge. It was huge. If I'm honest, I want it. If I'm honest. And if you're honest, you want that vision too. It's just we get caught up in whether or not we're worthy and what does it say about us that we want that. It says that we're in agreement with God. That's what it says. It doesn't say that I'm conceited or that I have an ego. I'm going to say it again. I didn't give myself this vision and I didn't give myself these gifts. It says that I'm in agreement with God when I want the vision. It says I'm in agreement with God and I can ask for it. It says anything that my heart desires, ask in his name and it will be given to me. It will be done for me. God, give me impact and influence so that when I speak about your word, people are moved to action. People are moved to purchase Bibles, open Bible study, and they start applying those things to their life so that they can walk in the purpose that you have for them. Don't want to be ineffective. I'm in agreement with God. That's what it means when I want what God has shown me. When you want what God wants for you, it doesn't make you egotistical. It doesn't make you conceited. It makes you in alignment and in agreement with God. Let's do it. It's just like sometimes we get outside of our mind a little bit, you know, and we allow what somebody else might think or say or how we might be seen or perceived. When people see and perceive you a certain way that's not in alignment with who you are, that's them. That means those aren't the people you've been called to serve. Don't worry about those folks. Keep it pushing, you know. And so this is what I want to do. This is what I want you to do this week. I want you to write the vision in detail as God reveals it to you. not just what you're comfortable with. I want you to allow yourself the freedom to just write without worrying about how it's going to get done, why you think you're the right person, what kind of training you're going to need, how great the vision is. Like, just write it out, right? Write it out as he reveals it to you, and not just, you know, what you're comfortable with. That's the first assignment, right? Write out the vision that you have for your life that God has given you, as he has revealed it to you. Not that scary stuff. Not, oh, I'm scared to write it down, so I'm just going to write down a little bit. Not that part. Okay. Then the second thing is, using the SOAP method, I want you to study Habakkuk 2, verses 2 through 3. And I want you to continue the conversation in the Dose of Courage community. So if you're not in the Dose of Courage community, come on over there and join us. And I want you to share. I want you to help me encourage 20,000 women this year through the podcast. I want you to help me grow this podcast so that the message gets out, so that more people can hear the message, more women can be encouraged, more women can be inspired and equipped. So I want you to share. But through all the means that you are able to share, whether you hit the share button on YouTube and share the link on your page, or in groups that you're in, or in groups that you manage, whether you share the link through text message, whether you screenshot it and share it on Instagram and your IG stories, be sure to add me so I can share it also. Share. I need you to help me encourage 20,000 women this year through the podcast. That's it. I hope that you have been encouraged, and I hope now that, you know, you're able to put some things in place so that you can overcome the doubt that you have about your vision if you have it. I'd love to hear from you. You can email me, at me, all the links, all the things that you need to get into the DOC community is going to be in the show notes. So make sure you check those show notes out. Until next time, y'all be strong and very courageous. Love y'all. Later. Bye. Bye.